Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman. We have some very special guests today. We have the great Dr. Peter McCullough, a returning guest, one of the leading experts on COVID, a man who has sacrificed so much to get the truth as he understands it out to the American people. And we'll talk a little bit about what that sacrifice has entailed. I know very few people who have endured the kind of persecution for speaking the truth that Dr. McCullough has endured. Also, John Leek is with us. He and Dr. Peter McCullough wrote a new book, The Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalization and Death While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. It's going to be fascinating. We're going to talk a little bit at the end about monkeypox. We're going to talk about what the World Health Organization is doing, what is happening with what the data is showing on the injections. Folks, you're not going to want to miss this. Now, a little bit on Dr. McCullough before we start. Dr. McCullough is an internist, cardiologist, and epidemiologist. He has been managing the cardiovascular complications of both the viral infection and the injuries developing after the COVID-19 injections in the Dallas, Texas area. Right from the beginning of the pandemic, Dr. McCullough has been a leader in the medical response to COVID-19 disaster. He published the Pathophysiological Basis and Rationale for Early Outpatient Treatment of SARS-CoV-2 Infection. That was the first synthesis of sequenced multi-drug treatment of ambulatory patients infected with COVID, and that was in the American Journal of Medicine and subsequently updated in reviews in cardiovascular medicine. He's done dozens of peer-reviewed publications on this. He's commented extensively all over the place on The Hill, America Out Loud, Fox News Channel, and of course, right here. He has testified all over the place on these issues. He was in November of 2020, he was in the U.S. Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. He was in the Texas Senate Committee on Health and Human Services, the Colorado General Assembly, all kinds. He's testified in state legislatures all over the country. And he actually co-moderated and testified at the U.S. Senate panel on COVID-19, a second opinion chaired by the great Senator Ron Johnson. He's reviewed thousands of reports. He's been in scientific congresses, discussions, and he is really being targeted by the big pharma and by the special interests that are really profiting off this, and in my opinion, deceiving the American people. We've also got, like I said, John Leek with us. He has studied history and philosophy with Sir Roger Scruton at Boston University. He did graduate school in Austria, in Vienna, ended up living there for over a decade as a freelance writer and translator. His first book, Entering Hades, The Double Life of a Serial Killer, was a New York Times Sunday Book Review Editor's Choice, a Men's Vogue Book of the Year, Best Book of 2007. And it was also the inspiration of the Infernal Comedy. His second book, Cold, A Long Time, An Alpine Mystery, was an award winner. Just an incredible team here to come up with this. And gentlemen, before we get into the issues of the day, I want to ask you about your new book. I have not read it yet, but I'm incredibly excited about it. Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalization and Death While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. Before we get into the details of the book, what is the biopharmaceutical complex?
The biopharmaceutical complex is a private and public partnership consisting of these international foundations, the Rockefeller and the Gates Foundation being two notable ones, also the Wellcome Trust in England, and the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. They have partnered up with large pharmaceutical companies, also basically a startup pharmaceutical company, Moderna, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and they have formulated and obtained financing and a very elaborate international partnership expressly for pandemic response. And the biopharmaceutical complex that we address in this book has done a splendid job of obtaining something like international policy dominance in any kind of emerging disease epidemic or pandemic, and is really driving the policy. Now, the most salient point about the biopharmaceutical complex is they're relentlessly and almost exclusively focused on vaccine development and mass vaccine deployment as the policy response. So, you know, we quickly get into the realization these guys are monopolists on public health, and their product is vaccine development.
It's an incredible amount of money floating around there too. Now, Dr. McCullough, When you started speaking out about this, it was like the world came crashing down around you. I mean, I know the work that you did went completely viral all over the world. You when we had you on the program, we had millions of views just on that interview. I know you were on Tucker Carlson, all kinds of huge things. And yet the attacks on you have been incredible. Tell us a little bit about what you said that made them so angry, and give us a little bit of insight, if you would, into the persecution, what that looked like and what they did to you.
I proposed that COVID-19 illness should be treated in high-risk patients to prevent hospitalization and death. And that proposal, in my view, should be uncontroversial. And the treatment will evolve and change over time. We've had better and better drugs, better and better tools. The shortcoming is patients not getting treatment who need them. Patients who are hospitalized get hospitalized because they've not had access to or gotten high-quality early treatment. Being hospitalized has nothing to do with taking a vaccine. It has to do with whether or not someone was treated before the hospital. The treatments are extensive now. I won't go through them. It's termed the McCullough protocol, but there's FLCC protocols, AFLDS. There's many protocols out there. Sadly, patients aren't being treated because health systems have still, we're in our third year, have not started outpatient treatment clinics and programs. They still haven't even presented their comparative statistics on outcomes, Alex. I mean, the treatment of COVID-19 is still the single greatest opportunity we can bring to America and to the world to reduce the suffering, hospitalization, and death. And when I proposed that we treat COVID-19, I never received a direct attack from another doctor of any standing or even an email. I received some letters to the editor that largely said, you can't do this. You don't have enough evidence. The minority witness in the US Senate, who's now the White House coordinator, that was largely his approach, that you can't do this. You don't have enough evidence. We should allow the suffering, hospitalization, and death to continue. And I just, Alex, I thought it was immoral. It's like someone who fell overboard in the high seas. And as if we're not going to throw a life preserver to him because we don't think there's enough evidence that the life preserver would get there. In my view, doctors and hospitals and health systems have always had a duty to treat. And with COVID-19, they abrogated those responsibilities.
Yeah, it really was incredible to see that. And I know when we first had you on, you were talking about some of your research and some of the incredible success you were having with this multi-drug treatment protocol. I mean, the numbers spoke for themselves. And yet instead, they seemed much more interested in just going around promoting the injections. Well, I've been looking at the data that's been coming out from the United Kingdom. I've seen even recently the data from American states, especially the most highly vaccinated states up in the New England area. And it looks to me like the most highly vaccinated places, the most highly vaccinated individuals also seem to be the most likely to catch COVID, to end up in the hospital from COVID, and now to die from COVID and other things. Am I understanding the data correctly, Dr. McCullough? Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, it's shocking. It's almost as if the vaccines have completely backfired. Our CDC was right. In the MMWR communication to doctors, December 10th, 2021, the CDC told us 79% of Omicron patients were fully vaccinated. And now that we see across hospitals all over the world, it's unclear why that's the case. It's possible that older, sicker people have just, they were more worried. They took the vaccines and now the vaccines are not providing full coverage. And that's really the driver for the proclivity of the differential. It may be that the unvaccinated largely have already had COVID, so they're protected against severe outcomes like hospitalization and death. But it could be something biologic. In a recent paper by Froman and colleagues from the NIH, the conclusions are that those who've taken the vaccine may actually have impaired immune systems. So it's not looking too good.
That is absolutely terrifying and tragic. John, in the book, you guys talk about, first of all, the courage to wage this battle. You wouldn't think it would take courage to fight for basic things like early treatment and things like that. But in today's world, it seems to. So you guys talk about the courage and you talk about the battle against the biopharmaceutical complex. Give us some insight into what this battle has looked like. I mean, is this really a battle? Is that the right word to use?
It is. So this, I've written this book from the experience and perspective of a true crime author. This is a story of organized crime. Not everyone who is participating in it is aware they are participating in an organized crime, because it's being driven by propaganda, and a lot of unwitting participants actually believe the propaganda. So, I mean, when we talk about organized crime, there may only be a few people that are fully conscious of what's going on. Everyone else is playing their role in it unwittingly. But this is about suppressing early treatment in order to advance this agenda of global central government by means of healthcare, and this insistence that everybody, every man, woman, and child get a vaccine on Earth. No exceptions. It doesn't matter what your age or your health status. Bill Gates, who is, I would characterize him as sort of the godfather of the complex, he was talking about already in April of 2020, before we had really knew that much about SARS-CoV-2. I mean, we were learning a lot about it, but he's already saying there are no treatments. Maybe remdesivir will help a little bit, but we're not going to be able to go back to normal until every man, woman, and child on Earth gets the vaccine. So the monopolist has his product, which he was involved in its research and development, and this is what he wants. I mean, it's not that hard to understand what's going on here if you're paying attention and you're not being bamboozled and distracted by mass media propaganda. So these guys wanted the vaccine. It was the only solution. They actually circulated a business plan in 2017 for their CEPI organization, which the Gates Foundation and the World Economic Forum founded, and in which they state a pandemic is coming. The solution, or the opportunity as they characterize it in the prospectus, they characterize the next pandemic as an opportunity, is to rapidly develop a new generation of vaccines and to get everyone on the planet vaccinated, period. That's the policy response. So when guys like Dr. McCullough say, well, look, I mean, we can treat this thing. We can take the edge off of it. There may not be a silver bullet that cures it 48 hours later, like antibiotics with bacteria, but it'll keep you out of the hospital. It'll take the edge off of it so you can stay at home. And this is immediately straight out of the gate. We document this in our book. Any early treatment modality that is proposed is immediately shot down before any of these people had any time to evaluate it. I mean, have you ever been at a cocktail party when you propose an idea to the group and it's just rejected outright? It's like, no, that we don't believe that, before anyone has even had a chance to listen to the idea. So all of this is out in the open. It's an organized crime story. A massive crime has been committed against humanity. And Dr. McCullough has, and his merry band of brothers, have been the guys that are fighting it. And so I tell this as a crime story, and also as a work of narrative nonfiction, in which we're taken into their perspective and what they're up against as they battle this complex.
Yeah, we saw it from the outside. I mean, every time we bring on a doctor like Dr. McCullough or Dr. Malone, or, you know, top experts in the field, Dr. Sukarth Bhakti, I mean, just top experts in the field, we were getting shut down on social media. We're getting censored. We're getting warnings. We're getting strikes. We're getting fact checks. We're getting demonized. And, you know, we weren't even the people saying the things. We're just reporting on what people are saying. And we experienced the heat. You mentioned something really important about this kind of effort toward global centralization. We've been covering at The New American very extensively this effort by the World Health Organization to amend the international health regulations with help from the Biden administration. Now they're going back to the drawing board with the International Pandemic Treaty. It sure seems like they're trying to accumulate more power, and it sure seems like Bill and Melinda Gates, the big foundations, the big pharmaceutical companies, the communist Chinese government, all have a really significant role here. What are they trying to do, John, with the WHO?
The WHO is a front organization for this complex that we're talking about. Tedros is just kind of a a sort of a pleasant sort of guy from Ethiopia. He doesn't have any executive power, but this UN agency is serving as a front organization for this complex that we've talked about, which is these are the guys that are actually financing the operation, organizing it, using their networks, using their money. These are empire builders. They are, you know, the equivalent of the Roman administration under Trajan or Hadrian or Alexander the Great or Napoleon. I mean, maybe Napoleon is a better analog. Napoleon wished to dominate all of Europe and part of North Africa and Egypt as well. So these guys aren't interested in nations, national constitutions and republics and national sovereignty stand in the way of their internationalist ambitions. And so what they've discovered is that aggressive military activity is very efficient. It's not very effective. It's extremely violent. It creates a lot of blowback. But every man, woman, and child on Earth will have a visceral, fearful reaction to the breaking news of a spreading infectious disease pandemic, especially when there are frightening images that are accompanying the messaging. So we're seeing that with monkeypox. Dr. McCullough can speak about the medical aspects of that, but it's a very frightening thing. It's heart of darkness. It comes out of the Congo. You see these images of snarling monkeys with their big canines and small children with these lesions on their skin. So it's all very terrifying. In fact, this is ridiculous nonsense. Monkeypox has been around for 50 years. There's sporadic outbreaks that happen all the time. Dr. McCullough can speak about the medical aspect of it. But yeah. What I would say is the monkeypox is another example of trying to frighten everybody in order to seed their obedience and their compliance to this complex, which presents itself as having the solution.
Yeah, and it seemed to come just in time. Last year, the Nuclear Threat Initiative, founded by Ted Turner, funded by Gates and many others, they did this war game where a monkeypox pandemic would strike in the middle of May of the next year. Yeah. And sure enough, middle of May, we get the monkeypox. Now, the original monkeypox, as I understand it, Dr. McCullough, was not all that dangerous, especially in advanced countries with, you know, proper medical care. But Dr. Robert Malone just released a statement the other day suggesting that this may have actually been engineered in a laboratory, potentially with the gain of function research. What are your thoughts on the monkeypox, Dr. McCullough? Should we be scared? Is this something that came out of a laboratory? What are your thoughts?
Monkeypox is a double-stranded DNA virus. It's considered an orthopox. It's related to cowpox, camelpox, and smallpox. The whole interest in monkeypox is actually a smallpox bioterrorism threat. And so the CDC actually has a monkeypox response team. The papers published by Beer and Simpson 2019 outlining monkeypox really as a parallel disease of interest. There's a vaccine fully FDA approved, but called the Jynneos vaccine. It's a live attenuated vaccine. And there's a very effective drug called TPOX or Tecovirimat. What the listeners need to know is there's never been a U.S. death of monkeypox. There's several hundred cases per year. There's one last year in Dallas. It was well described. He didn't spread it to anybody. It was very easily treated. It was published in the MMWR April 22nd, 2022 issue. We have a situation where smallpox vaccine for most adults over age 50 already provides protection. That was summarized in the papers that I've cited. So we shouldn't have any worry whatsoever. The vaccine, I think, is problematic. There are people in the vaccine stakeholders, including former FDA commissioner who is on the board of a vaccine company. He's already advising RIM vaccination of anybody who's come in contact with someone with monkeypox. The province of Quebec is also, and the CDC are also discussing widespread monkeypox vaccination. I'm concerned as a doctor because the monkeypox vaccine is already associated with heart damage. And it's already had peer-reviewed publications demonstrating heart damage. To take a vaccine for a skin rash, which is not lethal and is easily managed with an oral drug, and now TPOX is approved IV, to me, a dangerous, unproven vaccine, as opposed to just treating the rare case that comes up, it's a no-brainer. We should forego vaccination and just be prepared to treat if we have cases.
Well, thank you so much for sharing on that, Dr. McCullough. We're pretty much out of time, but I do want to ask you, gentlemen, not only where do we get the book, but also just in a couple minutes at most, you know, what should people be doing right now? I know a lot of people are scared. A lot of people are concerned, not just about the diseases, but also about the government response to the diseases, biopharmaceutical complex that you gentlemen are describing. What should Americans be doing right now? What's your advice? And then also, what's the best place to get the book to help you guys out and to get this information out?
Americans should arm themselves with an understanding of what's actually going on so that they won't be vulnerable and frightened by all of this nonsensical propaganda that they're being barraged with. They need to understand that our mass media is no longer in the news reporting investigative journalism business. Our mainstream media has become indistinguishable from propaganda organs for various corporate interests. And they should arm themselves with information, with accurate information, in order to fortify themselves against all of this. We believe our book presents a complex reality in the form of a page-turning narrative with a structure, and we've intentionally written it to be a page-turner, an engrossing, thrilling story. People can find it. The easiest way to do is go to our website, courage2facecovid.com. There's a portal to Amazon. We started our distribution on Amazon. We are going to expand that. We hope that people will be willing to order our book on Amazon. It's actually a very favorable arrangement that we have for that distribution. And I think when they read the book, they'll understand what's going on.
Fantastic. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for the book. Thank you for coming on and spending a little bit of time with us. Thank you for all that you're both doing to fight this. We really appreciate all that you're doing. We wish you luck. We hope the folks will keep you in prayer, and hopefully we'll get you back on very soon for more updates.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks so much. All righty, folks, that was Dr. Peter McCullough and John Leake, authors of the new book, you're not going to want to miss it, The Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalization and Death While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. Folks, keep these gentlemen in prayer. This is a tough battle. These are very powerful forces that they're up against. And really, the future of freedom depends on the outcome of these fights. So take it seriously. Get this information out, folks. You know the social media companies are not going to help us get this out. So we depend on good people like you to get this into the hands of the American people. Thank you all. This is Conversations That Matter. I'm Alex Newman with the New American Magazine. Until next time, God bless you all.